Radio Influence. The future is now.
You know her from network radio, but now she's on the net and in your head. This is the Fabulous Sports Bit on Radio Influence.
I don't know about you, but that college bowl game put me over the deep end. It especially put me over the deep end when I saw Ohio State. They went in to play Clemson, and I thought, okay, that's not going to be great. Who knew that were they even watching the same game I was? I mean, they were shut out in that stupid thing. They were just awful in that. And good for Clemson. I got to tell you something. I love Clemson. If you got Alabama, you're always thinking Alabama's going to do something. Clemson could be good in this, like really good. And the game's coming up this week. I'm getting ready for it. You know what? I saw a bunch of bowl games, but I wasn't standing there watching 20 games at a time. I saw some of the Outback Bowl, but I don't want to say anything, but Florida was up, so who cared about that? Did you see the Rose Bowl? How great was it for this terrible team from USC to just really kind of turn it around and make a big deal and do well this year? I loved it. I loved it. And, you know, there were a lot of games out there, but there are people I never even heard of out there. Western Michigan, they were up there. They got their asses kicked. I mean, there were so many people there, and there's so many. I'm like, you know, if I got three guys together, do you think we could get five wins together and get in a bowl game? Would you go? Would you go with me? All right, I got to find three other guys your size, and then we're done. We can go and do all of that. I'm very, very excited about the NFL. Do you know I don't care anything at all about the NBA? I really don't. It's like when we get to the playoffs, I'll be ready. And I know everybody's excited about Villanova, and everybody's crazy about Duke, and Mike Krzyzewski, who we love, is getting his back done, and it's not the first time and all that. You know what? Okay, when you get to the tournament, I'll be very interested in that time. Let's do a bunch of stuff. Russell Baxter is the best person in the whole wide world. He does more things than I can even imagine. He does fan side. He's involved in that pro football guru. He's invited in something called Spin Zone. He's even involved in the NFL female thing. He's really involved in everything. But when it comes time, I love talking with him. You get more information for him. We're going to talk a lot. Russell Baxter coming up next. We are finally there. I can't wait. The playoff system is coming, and Russell Baxter comes to join us, because when it's time for this, I got to talk to you, because you always have an idea of what's going on. I'm watching these games. I'm looking to the weekend. I said, I can't wait for Saturday and Sunday. But you know what? We've got this horrible thing where we have Carr, who's not there. You don't know who's really going to play for Oakland. And Oakland was doing so well. We thought they were going to do well. And now it's like a nightmare with them.
Yeah, it's really a shame when you have an MVP candidate go down like Derek Carr did. And, you know, we saw the results of what happened last weekend, babe, because not only did Matt McCoy get hurt, you know, Connor Crook now comes in as a rookie. And, you know, it's kind of left Jack Del Rio in a haphazard spot. But meanwhile, they're playing a team in the Houston Texans who are kind of in the same situation, sort of. They didn't have the kind of performance from their quarterback this year that the Raiders got from Derek Carr. They had Brock Osweiler. He just got benched a couple of weeks ago. Tom Savage came in, helped them win a game, but he got concussed on the weekend against Tennessee. Well, Osweiler came in, looked somewhat decent. Now what do they do? It's just Oakland and Houston, it's a bizarre set of circumstances, but I can be honest with you. I guess one historical note, which to me is kind of funny. The last time the Raiders were in the playoffs, as you well know, was 2002. That was the first year the Houston Texans took the field.
Really? And so we're waiting to see. If I had to look at that based on how Oakland did the last time, I would give it to Houston. But I have to be honest with you, that Houston thing, I'm like, nobody really wanted to get in there. Okay, they won, but it was kind of like, did anyone really want to get in there? But now we're in the playoffs. And when I'm looking at Carr, you know what? And I don't even know if you know this, but I'll just ask you about it. Carr, they said, was going to be off like 5 to 6 weeks. And that, what's the other guy's name? Oh, Mariota was gone for like 4 to 5 months. Is it just the difference in the different kind of knees, or what was that?
Well, I mean, they both suffered similar injuries. I believe they were both broken fibulas. You never know what other kind of damage is done in those things. Sometimes there's something else that's gone wrong. But what you find out with these injuries, regardless of what the timetable are, Nancy, is the fact that a lot of times these guys wind up coming back a lot sooner than you think. Now, in the case of Marcus Mariota, he's got plenty of time to come back, and I don't expect to see Derek Carr in the playoffs at all. But still, it's two promising young quarterbacks in a league where, you know, within the next couple of years, we're not going to have the Bradys and the Brees and maybe Eli Manning, maybe Ben Roethlisberger, maybe we're going to have a changing of the guard, which is kind of weird to say because it's actually a changing of the quarterback. Changing of the guards all the time. But, it's just sometimes there's more damage than you think. Then you get something like David Johnson. Everybody thought he tore an ACL or whatever. He wound up having a knee sprain. He's not going to need surgery. Once you get in there and figure out exactly what it is, it's a little time. But, I mean, again, it kind of makes you feel bad because this was such a banner year for the Raiders. We haven't seen, not only are they in the playoffs since 2002, they had a winning season since 2002. So now let's also recall these two teams played in Mexico City earlier this season. The Raiders came back and won the game because of Derek Carr. And that was Derek Carr this year. He really kind of made up for a substandard defense. Meanwhile, on the other side, it was the number one defense in the league, as it turned out this year, making up for a substandard offense.
You know, if I look at the other one, Detroit and Seattle, Seattle's there. You always assume that they're going to win. That whole thing with Detroit and Green Bay wins everything and Detroit's at the bottom and all that. But they're going to play. And I think it's okay that they've been in the playoffs. Are they supposed to win a playoff game? Is that what matters for Detroit?
Well, they haven't won a playoff game since 1991. The quarterback was Eric Kramer. They were still playing at the Pontiac Silverdome. Barry Sanders was in his third year in the league. If they lose this weekend, they would have lost 9 straight playoff games, which would set an all-time record. But I'm one of those people who doesn't think they're going to lose.
Really? Tell
and
me more.
I have watched Seattle down the stretch here, getting torched by Aaron Rodgers in Green Bay, getting torched by Carson Palmer in their own building, watching San Francisco move the ball on them, the Seahawks won the game. Seattle didn't lose a game at home all year, babe, until the very end, until Arizona beat them. And I think Detroit, listen, they've given up 10 touchdown passes the last 3 games. They don't have a takeaway in their last 4 games. Woe is me. Detroit's going to lose. I don't think it's going to happen. I think we're going to get a Matthew Stafford comeback win in the fourth quarter, and it's going to be the stunner of the weekend.
You know, I love Matthew Stafford. I'm up front with saying it. I really do like him, and I'm not so sure that he has the greatest players in the world, but he's done extremely well this year. Let me go to Sunday in Miami at Pittsburgh. What about that? Because, I mean, in comes Miami. You know, they got another, you know, I don't know, Matt Moore is there now because Tannehill's been hurt. So what happens now when they go to Pittsburgh?
Well, I've read and heard that Ryan Tannehill is not officially scratched from the game. But, I mean, I think the key here is really Jay Ajayi, who, remember, really kind of had his coming out party against the Pittsburgh Steelers, a couple of months ago. Over 200 yards rushing down in Miami. Miami stunned the Steelers, beat them 30-15. And the Miami Dolphins are one of many teams this year, or I should say numerous teams, that have gotten – their act together because it's not all about the quarterback. It's having that running back balance. And you look at how Dallas bounced back this year, Nancy. You look at Tennessee because of DeMarco Murray and Marcus Mariota and other factors. I mean, you got to play defense. Don't get me wrong. But, you know, the Miami Dolphins, and you know from being down in Florida, they spent the whole offseason trying to look for a running back. They signed C.J. Anderson to an offer sheet. They wooed Chris Johnson. They brought Arian Foster, who eventually retired. And they wind up getting Jay Ajayi, who had a terrific year, 3 200-yard games, 2 of them against the Bills, 1 against the Steelers. But the funny thing is that the team they're playing in the Pittsburgh Steelers, who have won 7 games in a row, have kind of revived themselves this year because of their change in offensive philosophy. And it's been a lot of Le'Veon Bell. Le'Veon Bell in the last six games he played, had over 1,000 yards from scrimmage. I mean, it's just astounding. He rested this week, as did Big Ben, as did Antonio Brown. I think Miami will put up a bigger fight than they did against New England last week because Miami's offensive line is pretty formidable, but their run defense is horrible. And Pittsburgh's offensive line is playing real well. The Steelers are very hot right now. Them and New England have won 7 games in a row. I think the rematch goes Pittsburgh's way.
You know, one of the other things I noticed yesterday that everybody was going to Vegas and they're all putting money on Green Bay. And I thought, okay, so the Giants are going to play at Green Bay. But I thought they weren't very good. And then they really brought it on towards the end of the season. But I'm like, the Giants are still the Giants, but it's not Green Bay. And especially if it's in Green Bay. But do you see that any differently, or do you see the Giants taking that?
Well, you know, Green Bay, again, with the high, this is an intriguing matchup. And I know a lot of people are hearkening back to 2007 and 2011 when New York went into Green Bay and beat them in the playoffs once against Brett Favre, once against Aaron Rodgers. It was the years that he won the Super Bowls under Tom Coughlin. You'll also remember that New York on a Sunday night went into Green Bay and lost earlier this year. It was a game, you will remember that the Giants secondary played pretty well in that game, but they didn't get much of a pass rush on Aaron Rodgers. And that's been the story of the Giants. You know, when the Giants won those Super Bowls against the Patriots, they really, in essence, beat up Tom Brady in both of those games with their pass rush. This is a different Giants defense. It's very, very good, but it's better on the back end. It kind of reminds you a little of the Seattle Seahawks with Thomas and Chancellor and Richard Sherman. Sure, Norris Jenkins has had a great year. Landon Collins, to me, is a Defensive Player of the Year candidate. Dominique Rodgers-Cromartie had the key picks this week against the Redskins. So, I mean, this is a total toss-up. And it's one of those games where I could see Green Bay, as hot as they've been, their defense has not been a shell of what the Giants have been. And if New York can run the ball on them, I see the Giants can go in there and win. Aaron Rodgers has covered up a lot of their deficiencies this year. And early in the year, he wasn't having an Aaron Rodgers-like year, even though he still was having a decent year. He winds up not throwing an interception in the last 7 games he played.
Wow.
So, you know, he'll get some MVP votes. They're going to have to try to run the ball with whoever they have. And, the Packers don't have a lot in terms of the backfield. One of their biggest running threats is Aaron Rodgers. If this turns into a Giants defense versus Aaron Rodgers, I think the Packers are in real trouble. The Packers are going to have to come up with some balance, and they're also have to get some heat on Eli.
You know, one of the things that I wrote down, Russell, was the thing about coaches. I was going to ask you about Coughlin, but there's so many coaches now. And we go through this thing where, oh, it's all the assistant coaches because they're more relatable to the young players. Then we go back to older coaches, and we're going through this. First, Tom Coughlin, is he getting another job? And what about everybody else that's out there? It's always some assistant that they want.
Yeah, well, I want to see how the cards fall in the next couple of weeks, to be honest with you, because you will remember, and in fact, talking about Tom Coughlin, you will remember there were two coaching hires last year where we saw veteran coaches lose their jobs, basically because the franchises did not want to lose their assistants to another organization.
Mm-hmm.
Tom Coughlin, where they promoted Ben McAdoo to be the head coach because of what he had done with Eli for 2 years.
Mm-hmm.
And again, I'll have to tell you, Dirk Cutter is the head coach of the Tampa Bay Buccaneers because they were afraid they were going to lose him. And look how it turned out. Ben McAdoo, they were 11-5, they made the playoffs. The Bucs were 9-7. They missed the playoffs, but still had a terrific year. Very intriguing. I'm going to see if there's any situations like that around the league. But, you know, as you also know, this was not your typical Black Monday this year. I refer to it as Beige Monday because we already saw 3 coaches fired before the season even ended. Okay, and then Gary Kubiak wasn't really fired; he resigned because of personal issues and maybe his health and so on. We saw Mike McCoy get fired. We saw Chip Kelly get fired. Again, all that. I'll be interested to see how the offensive coordinators and the guys who have done wonders with certain guys pan out and so on. I mean, the hot number names are going to be Josh McDaniels and Kyle Shanahan.
Right.
And Terrell Austin, the defensive coordinator of the Lions, He's a guy I picked who always seems to get consideration but hasn't been hired yet. Right now, there's basically six openings. I won't be surprised if there's one or two more in the next 2 weeks.
You know what? I heard that Mike Smith is – a lot of people are jumping all at him. He was the – obviously, he was the coach at Atlanta, and now he's been the defensive coordinator here for the Bucs. And I have to tell you what, he has made a huge difference in the defense right now. But, you know, it's like you do well and we go after you the next day. Like, they can't make him an assistant coach or anything like that. But I guess if it's your opportunity to go back, then you have to let him go.
Oh, there's no doubt about it. I mean, listen, everybody's always looking for an advancement. You know, there are guys, and we've seen it more in the last couple of years than we used to ever see it before. Guys who are willing to take coordinator jobs to stay active in the league instead of just not working at all and taking a year off. You know, sometimes it benefits you, sometimes it doesn't. You know, the situation in Tampa to me is fascinating, but it also shows you, you know, Mike Smith, Dirk Cutter used to work for Mike Smith. Right. Now Mike Smith works for Dirk Cutter.
Mm-hmm.
But the bottom line is that they're working together. Okay. And, you know, for these teams that I'll throw this out, for these teams who change head coaches every 2 or 3 years, if you're wondering why you're not getting any better, don't be blaming the players. Okay. The lack of continuity with certain these, I mean, Buffalo's going to do it again. Okay. I mean,
sure.
Buffalo goes through more head coaches than I go through chicken wings.
You know what? You're talking about that. And I think the one place is the 49ers. Somebody said, the Yorks do not want to spend any money. So whoever they get will be their whoever they want to be. And I guess that Louis Riddick is looking at the 49ers for a GM job there. But they say they don't really want to pay any money for the 49ers. It's not Eddie DeBartolo material there anymore.
Oh, no, it's a different. I mean, they're about to have their fourth different head coach in 4 years. Okay. Who does that remind you of? Might be the Cleveland Browns.
Yes.
Okay, but it does. Okay, Hugh Jackson and the Browns had a 1-15 season. One of the best moves the Browns already made was not letting him go. Okay,
mm-hmm.
They made this plan of drafting 14 players. They all made the team. I'm going to stick it out. If you would have pulled the plug on Hugh Jackson after 1 year, then you set yourself back 3 more years.
Mm-hmm.
And that's it. The Niners are in the process of doing that. The Niners are. Yeah. You watch the Niners play and you almost question effort.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. I'm not saying that they're not trying, but when you watch Cleveland play, you know, they're out there doing the best they can. There were games with the 49ers this year where you wondered what the hell they were doing. I'm sure they're going to petition the league so they can play the Rams 16 times next year.
Sure.
But it's not going to work that way, as we know.
What about Colin Kaepernick? Is he going to stay there? Remember, oh, we hate him, now we love him. You don't know from 1 minute to the next. Is he the guy or not there?
Well, he could be the guy, but, you know, he also isn't necessarily maybe interested in going back. And here's the thing. There's been a lot thrown on him about Colin Kaepernick for a lot of different reasons. Some football, some haven't. But the decline of the San Francisco 49ers really had nothing to do with him. When I hear people talk about, you know, this team and that team, the team around him disintegrated, okay? And it disintegrated in basically 2 years. Okay, where is Michael Crabtree? Where is Anquan Boldin? Where is Frank Gore? We won't even get into the defense, Patrick Willis, Justin Smith, and all that. Okay, so, I mean, I know some people are quarterback-centric in our business, but Colin Kaepernick, to me, actually played better football as the year went on.
Mm-hmm.
He overcame some early rustiness. I'm not saying he was Johnny Unitas, okay? But he also wasn't horrible. That win in Los Angeles a couple of weeks ago where he drove him down late and then scored the 2-point conversion, I mean, I think that was one of the better moments of the season,
mm-hmm.
okay? All everybody's personal feelings aside about him, about his kneeling and his stance and all that stuff, that was one of the better moments. And it was, like I said, this was one of your bad San Francisco 49er teams, and they've had some bad teams in the past. I mean, you know, I remember the days when they were 2-14 and they hired Bill Walsh as a first-time NFL head coach, and they turned things around. Now they're in search of a coach. They're in search of a general manager. They're in search of a lot. And the only thing that's left in San Francisco, let's be honest, babe, is Tony Bennett.
You know, when I look at that and I think of what a disaster it's been, how much was it about Harbaugh just leaving and they were left there? Because Colin Kaepernick was pretty good a few years ago. But how much of that was them just letting him go when they could have kept him for more money, I would imagine?
Yeah, whatever that power struggle was between him and Trent Baalke. And here's what you find. You can go back and look at a lot of different situations in the league. When there's a power struggle between the head coach and the GM, eventually both will be gone.
Mm-hmm.
That's how it's going to play out. If there's a power struggle between the quarterback and the head coach, eventually both will be gone. I mean, we saw it in San Diego. Okay. It took a little while. AJ Smith fires Marty Schottenheimer after a 14-2 season. And then down the road, AJ Smith was gone eventually too, because he couldn't back it. I mean, then North Turner was like, oh, et cetera, et cetera. See, I mean, this is a game of continuity. You wonder why New England, Green Bay, mm-hmm. Pittsburgh, you know, the Giants to a degree, they're always in the mix. They don't always make the playoffs, but they're always in the conversation. It's because you don't have to look at a list every year and know who the head coach and the general manager is with those franchises.
You know, one of the things that I'm going to talk to you is, what about this Gruden Rams thing? There are talks about that, but if I'm Gruden, do I want Jared Goff to be the guy? I don't think I want him to be my quarterback.
Well, I think, listen, with John, I mean, he's looked at these quarterbacks very in-depthly. I mean, and you know, when he does his quarterback camps and so on. So, I mean, if he was going to go there, you would think some of it was based on the homework that he did on Jared Goff just for television alone.
Sure.
And
yeah.
So on. So, but I don't get the sense that, I mean, I just don't get the sense that John's going anywhere as far as a head coaching job, you know, and I certainly don't think it would be that organization unless, you know, he has some sort of relationship with Les Snead that I'm not aware of. That's a team that's very odd, because 2 years ago, Aaron Donald was defensive rookie of the year. He's an all-pro player. Last year, Todd Gurley was the offensive rookie of the year, but they haven't made the playoffs since 2004. Okay. So, do they have underachieving players? Is Tavon Austin an underachiever? Is Greg Robinson an underachiever? It's hard to get a grasp on them, babe, because you look at all their high draft choices, and they've been sporadic. You know, for years it was, well, the Rams are just a good quarterback away from getting in the playoffs. Well, you know, they haven't had good quarterbacks, but more importantly, their defense, as good as it's been, has been radically inconsistent.
You know, I have to tell you, when I think about the Gruden thing and I think to myself, you've been around, I've been around, I'm looking at him and I said, John Madden retired. It wasn't like they pushed him away like Brett or anything. He was gone and it was there. And I'm like, John, don't go anywhere. That's exactly where you need to be. Sure, it's wonderful and it's LA and all that, but eventually you're going to get fired. Eventually.
Listen,
so just stay there.
Here's the thing. It is a minimum 3-year commitment for a coach by the time you sort out the draft and free agency. Do you want to commit 3 years? And when I think of John Madden, and I think of Bill Cowher, and I think of John Gruden, okay, this is an analogy I came up with. They're like race car drivers who are going 160 miles an hour, all right? And they're doing this for years and years and years and years. And then all of a sudden, they take their foot off the pedal. And it's a different lifestyle. You're doing television. You're doing other things. Spending more time with your family. Do you all of a sudden wake up one morning, put the helmet on, and rev it up to 150 again? I think that's easier said than done.
I love Russell Baxter when he comes to visit us. We're very lucky. You get to hear things from him. 6 games with 1,000 yards. Le'Veon Bell is who we're talking about. 6 games, 1,000 yards. Thank you for stuff like that. How great is that? I'll tell you what, Brock Osweiler is going to be the guy that's going to be out there with, and you know what, that's fine because he's terrible, and that's okay, and they won't even win as terrible as they are. I don't really care, but so many things to talk about, Russell, and also, you know, wondering about John Gruden. Is so, oh, you want him to go to the Rams? John Gruden, stay exactly where you are. Stay exactly where you are. You got the best thing in the whole wide world. And when you get over it, you get over it. And that's it. It's not a bad thing at all. The woman has this alligator whose name is Rambo. She dresses him up in her clothes. He's 5'8", and she takes him to parties, and people are, he's holding on to them. And I don't want to say anything, but isn't his thing pretty much to rip your hand off? You know, it's supposed to put your head in it, because you know they're drunk. I mean, if she's running around, and this thing is on her ATV, the motorcycles, and Rambo wears clothes. This is Florida. This is my Florida that I get to put up with. We're doing all kinds of things today. We'll do more of this coming up. I'm stuck on Radio Influence. It's the Babe Cast, because after all, I am the fabulous sports babe.
If you know the babe at all, you'll know the show never ends. Follow her on Twitter at RealSportsBabe and subscribe to the show on iTunes and Stitcher. This has been the Fabulous Sports Babe on Radio Influence. Radio Influence brings you the best in digital media broadcasting. When it comes to sports, we've got experts like national sports radio host Rich Herrera, the fabulous sports babe, and former Major League Baseball manager Kevin Kennedy. Want a good laugh? Then go on the beach with Pants and Roller Girl. Get Duffified Live with Chef Brian Duffy, or just LOL with Nancy Alexander. And when it comes to real life, Dangerous Conversation with Scott Ledger and Beyond the Badge with Vincent Hill will make you think. When it comes to what you want, Radio Influence has you covered. Find our programming on iTunes, Stitcher, TuneIn Radio, and RadioInfluence.com.